The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Thanks for joining us. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to Spirit of Recovery, offering support for your spiritual growth and addiction recovery. Here's Reverend Dan Beckett.
Welcome to the Spirit of Recovery on Unity Online Radio. We are glad you're with us today. I am Reverend Dan Beckett, here with co-host Reverend Michelle Vargas. Together, we share ways that spirituality and addiction recovery intertwine and work together to support your spiritual growth in your own recovery journey.
Facebook users, you can always send us your questions and comments anytime during the week from our Facebook page, Spirit of Recovery. Just click the send message button right below the banner. Be assured that your anonymity will always be respected. So please let us know what's on your mind. We'd really love to hear from you.
Today's show is titled Confident Living. Many of us in addiction recovery are all too familiar with the feeling of fear, fear of the future, fear of change, fear of pain. You can probably add to the list. The good news is that in recovery, we can learn to manage and transform our fear, moving instead into a life rooted in faith. Today, we want to share our experience, strength, and hope on moving from fear to faith using the power of release.
We want to share with you what we were like before, what happened, and what we are like now, along with a spiritual tool or principle that helped guide us through the tough times. We certainly hope that you will find something in our experience that'll be helpful to you in your own recovery. So today we're going to be talking about first that experience of fear and then moving from that fear to faith through the power of release.
So when I ask myself, what was my experience of fear, you know, I'm thinking or focusing on before recovery or early in recovery. And again, it's not that everything was just louder then and more, and it was more overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's not even as if the nature of my concerns has changed that much. It's just like if it was a volume knob, it went from 10 to 2, you know, over time. But the kind of fear that I have experienced then is, first of all, fear of not having enough. Mm-hmm. Enough what? Yes. Enough of whatever.
Anything.
Whatever I want some of, I can be afraid that there's not enough of.
Right.
You know, I regularly order too much takeout foods. Like, oh, let me add one appetizer so we don't run out. And then I get it again. Like, oh my God.
Oh my God, me too.
This is way too much. I have a feeling I'm not the only one that does that. Fear of not understanding how something works, because I feel particularly lost. If I feel like I don't understand something, which is different than not understanding it, if I feel like I don't understand it, then that can be very fearful for me. Fear of being lost. It's kind of a similar thing, just general safety in the world, you know, this sort of unconscious, it's kind of like a low-lying fear that the world is not a safe place for me. Now, that's not how I feel today, but that's absolutely how I felt before I got into recovery.
Yes. Yeah, boy, so did I. I had that really too, that just that feeling that the world is not a safe place. And if that's the operating belief, then there's a lot of evidence for that. You know, it's not hard to line up evidence to support that belief. Luckily, you know, I think it's safe to say neither you nor I have to live that way anymore. We don't have that sense that things are just not safe. In fact, we have the opposite sense that things are very much safe and that the universe is a friendly place. But that doesn't mean, of course, that bad things don't happen, but it's bigger than that. It's just about, you know, the general direction that things are going in the universe. And I felt before, not having higher power on board, not having a spiritual belief system, there was nothing, there was no ground, there was nothing for me to put my, you know, nothing for me to put my feet on, to stand on, as you know what I'm saying, like a
yeah,
a ground of being, you know, a something to rely on and to feel faith in. And when I didn't have that, lots of things seemed scary. So the, some of the things you mentioned too, you know, I definitely had lack mentality. I mean, I think lack mentality is sort of the default setting in this culture, unless you learn otherwise, right? Or maybe unless you grow up in, but I don't even think it matters if you grow up in a lot of riches, because I think that those people can still have just as much lack mentality.
Yeah, it's very common.
I think,
what I've observed and experienced myself.
Yes, definitely. So I had that fear, you know, our big book talks about fear of economic insecurity. And, you know, that was a really big one for me before I got into recovery. Just,
oh, me too.
And
that
it also,
yes,
it's terrifying. I also was, you know, a young adult that was just making my way in the world, you know, and so some of that is natural. But, you know, I learned very quickly once I got into Unity principles and started learning about prosperity and everything, that I didn't have to live that way, that I didn't have to be in fear all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just the, that type, you know, that's one of our promises in the 12-step recovery program, is that, you know, fear of economic insecurity will leave us. And it's interesting that that's one of the first things that I learned in Unity was prosperity consciousness.
Yeah.
So they really, yeah, they went right together. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And I think that folks that, you know, find Unity and recovery like around the same time or one shortly after the other really find that, that so many of the principles are so in line that they really just go really well together, which is why we even have this show in the first place, right? Because
that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly what we're doing, is drawing the parallels between them, because they're both spiritual paths. They have more in common than they have different.
Right.
And if you know one, the other one makes a lot of sense.
And they complement one another.
Yeah, I think so. So one thing that had occurred to me when I thought about the fear I've experienced before is, and you started to mention some of the ninth step promises. Four of them, I feel like, are addressing fear. So I'm going to share those, because they're sort of, here's what will happen when we can let go of these fears, or we will let go of these fears. And number two, we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. That's the opposite of fear.
Exactly.
Freedom and happiness is the opposite of fear. Number four, we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Also the opposite of fear. Number 10, and this is what you said, fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us.
Mm-hmm.
That was, both of those were a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And 11, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us.
Yeah.
Now for me, a situation that baffles me is a fear generating kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know, maybe some listeners can be baffled without feeling fear, but I feel fear when I feel baffled.
Right.
So I included that one.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that's the opposite of fear. So, you know, being afraid of all these different things, or what's the book say, 1,000 forms of fear?
Yes.
Et cetera. And then it lays out a path, if you will, reflected here in the promises, like this is what will happen if you do this work, all these ninth step promises. And these four jumped out at me because they directly, to my ear, they directly address the fear that I spent way too much time in. And they have all come true for me.
Yeah.
And it's never a one and done. They continue to come true.
Yes. It's wonderful, the meetings where they read the promises, because I think people at any point in recovery, but especially if they're new or if they're going through a difficult time, it's kind of really wonderful to hear, you know, this is what you're going to get if you do this work, you know, and then you see all the old timers nodding because yes, those things came true for them. And so that's something to really, you know, and they're going to pan out a little bit differently for each person. And like you said, it's not a one and done. But most of us have found that to, you know, more or less degree, that all of these promises have come true in some form in our lives. So I love that you said that freedom is the opposite of fear. I love that because, yes, because fear is a very contracted state, right? When we're afraid, we're shut down, we're contracted, we're shutting things out. We are in sort of survival mode. And it's a very closed, you know, place. And the opposite of that is not not fear, but freedom, you know, freedom from that, freedom, openness, and, you know, yeah, what I'm just trying to think of words, you know, to describe that, but it's,
those are good words.
I love freedom. I love that, you know, because that really is, what we are seeking, I think, in a sort of overall way, is we're seeking freedom from these things that caused us, so much pain and, suffering and challenge. So yeah, I love that freedom. We are seeking freedom from these things. So I relate to that 1,000 forms of fear. I mean, when you're living a fear-based life, as I was, fear is basically kind of everything. You know, there's fear of everything. Like you said, fear of people, fear of economic insecurity, fear of not understanding, fear of, you know, fear of not being liked by people, fear of not being good enough, fear of not, you know, being competent, fear of, you know, I don't know. For me, those are big ones that, you know, not being, I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, blah, blah, blah. I gotta be liked. I need everybody to like me. I need to be, you know, I need that external validation all the time. So that's, you know, that's one that I can still get into struggling with today. Sure. Of, you know, fear of people not liking me or not loving me, or fear of not being good enough, not, not being seen as competent, or frankly, yeah, not right. being seen as wonderful, because I want to be seen as wonderful.
Right. Well, it's a good thing that you are so wonderful. Oh, goodness. You don't have to deal with that often.
And it's not like these things completely go away. I mean, some of them are, you know, sort of our cross to bear that, you know, we have to continue working on. It's a life, you know, some of the more ingrained, deeper things. I'm always working on them. But some of them really did go away, you know, pretty quickly. So that's kind of a hopeful message for people if they're new, that, you know, you start living this way and doing this work, at least a certain degree of that fear will really begin to drop off, don't you think? It happens pretty quickly.
I do. That was my experience.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's path is different, but that was my experience. And I'm reminded of that saying that we have, it works if you work it. And it does work if you work it. That I have seen it in myself, and I've seen it in others over and over again. Yeah. You know, one thing that comes to mind as I think about fear is, you know, if I have kind of an unhealthy way of pushing back on it. So one, being Team Jesus here, one way we can look at Jesus' teachings is it's a position of non-resistance.
Right.
That there's a theme in there of non-resistance, which is a theme that we find in general in these sort of deep, intense spiritual growth journeys. But if my reaction to the fear, I can start overusing my power of strength, like I'm going to power through it. Well, I'm afraid I can't do it, so I'm going to try twice as hard. You know, I'm not a quitter. I'm just going to keep going. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know, I'll do this if it kills me. That kind of fighting with it, for me, is a very unhealthy use of the power of strength, and where I find the real relief or the path forward is in more in surrender
than
strength. Now, strength is neither good nor bad. I'm using it all the time. It's a matter of, am I aware of how I'm using it, and am I using it in a balanced manner? I can use it as a response to fear in a way that's not balanced, when letting go is what I really need to do. And fortunately, you know, over the years, I have learned to get better at that.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about fear a lot. And as we always say, it's really important to tell our story and to be able to tell the truth about what's going on. And then once we've done that, we want to move out of the challenge or the problem and move into the solution. So what is the solution for us here today?
Well, our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore, developed a set of 12 spiritual principles or abilities that he called the 12 powers. And these are things that we all have and that we are all using all the time, but we can learn more about them and we can learn how to use them more effectively, more skillfully in our lives. So the power that we're talking about today and that we found helpful in moving out of that fear and moving into faith is what we're calling the power of release.
Which does seem easy to understand in a way, right? To release is to let go of something, and that sounds simple. But in practice, it's often not as easy as all that. The idea of releasing something is quite different from the reality of releasing it. Or as I've heard, what is the Woody Allen quote? I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens, right? Or I'm not afraid to die, just not today, right? So what do you think?
That's funny. We always say, like, you know, we know when we've let something go because it's sort of like all torn to bits and like there's a little thread hanging from it. You know, claw marks, exactly. Because we let go so gracefully. You know, letting go is one of these like mega spiritual principles I've found over the years. It just keeps coming back again and again. And kind of a Buddhist concept in a lot of ways, but it's certainly a universal one. And I'm finding that it applies to more and more aspects of life, that life is a series of letting go. You know, right now there's, you know, we're moving into fall, and I'm thinking a lot about the change of the seasons because I'm suddenly freezing all the time and putting a sweatshirt on. And there, you know, I keep seeing this meme on Facebook with the beautiful colored leaves and saying, you know, the leaves are about to show us how beautiful it is to let go. And so it's really sort of this time of year is a real metaphor for letting go, because literally the natural world is letting go. You know, the leaves are letting go and falling off the trees and, you know, dying or transitioning or shifting into something different. And so it's a good time of year for us to be thinking about these things. And I, in fact, gave a sermon on something very close to this topic on Sunday. So it's right in my mind. And it's a really big one, you know, that we just pretty much have to keep letting go of everything all the time, because like I was saying, there's two ways to go through life. We can go through life very contracted and fearful, gripping things tightly, trying to make things happen a certain way, worrying about things when they're not going a certain way, or worried that they're not going to go a certain way, controlling. I've come to see those things as very tight, closed, contracted feelings. And the other way to live life is in a very open, allowing, receptive, and surrendered way. And that seems to work much better for me when I do that. So what do we need to let go of in life? Pretty much everything. I'm doing a series on dying right now in our church, and we even have to let go ultimately of our own lives, of the fact that, you know, we're mortal and we are going to die. And, you know, clinging to the idea that we're going to live forever is not helpful. So we really have to let go of everything, even our very lives. In this material existence,
right. This body is going to die at some point.
Yes,
right. And if I'm identified with this body, then my reality is that I'm going to die.
Right.
What I am working toward is that I am not this body. This right. body can die, and I will not, which is getting a little weird and advanced spiritual concept.
Yeah.
So think about, what does the power of release mean for me? And we started to talk about this. Letting go is a spiritual tool, right? And I thought about different spiritual traditions and, you know, how is letting go represented? Like in Buddhism, letting go is non-attachment, right? And, yes. the idea that attachment is the root of suffering is the central tenet of the Buddhist faith. And I know that to be true. Yeah. I understand what they're saying, and I agree with that. In Al-Anon, so 12-step program, sort of the sister program, if you will, for the addiction program is the Anon program. Detachment, right? Move the focus off of the other and back to self. So I'm not trying to control you. If you're the drunk and I'm the spouse and the codependent, then I need to detach from what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And move my focus back to what is going on within me. So that is a letting go of my need to control the other person.
Yeah.
In the big book, this is a quote: the results are nil until we let go absolutely.
Yes.
This doesn't work until we let go completely. We could sub the word completely in there for absolutely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew 18:22 talks about how many times should I forgive? 70 times, seven times, over and over and over again is the point there.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything magical about that many times.
No, it just means
over and over. Get a sheet of paper and write out, I forgive so-and-so completely that many times, and it would probably help.
Yeah.
The point is a lot.
Yep.
How often should we forgive over and over and over, basically till it's a non-issue? And we are releasing that resentment, which is another one of those great ideas that sounds terrific. And I'm like, yeah, sign me up. But it's a lot harder to actually do
right
than it is to talk about.
I mean, I think that's the truth with most of this stuff. It's harder to do, you know, these things are very simple concepts, but that doesn't make them easy to do.
Yeah,
luckily, right. Spirituality is not, you know, spirituality is a practice. So it's not something that we just, oh, I got it. Good. I'm done. I'm on my way. It's something that we practice. You know, human beings are going to need to practice letting go their entire lives. We're never going to get perfect at it. It's something that we keep practicing over and over. And one of the reasons this is letting go is such a big, big mega concept spiritually is because there's a paradox to it, right? Like in Unity, we're a lot about, you know, creating our lives, co-creating with God, using the power of our minds, the law of mind action to manifest the things we want, to create the type of life we want. That seems all very active and sort of not controlling, but you know what I'm saying? Like we're creating this thing. And yet right. At the same time, we're talking over here about letting go. And so that can get a little bit confusing, right? So there's so many spiritual paradoxes that we encounter on this journey. And I think this is really one of them that, you know, and this is sort of what our serenity prayer is about, is like, what, you know, we let go of just about everything so that we can have the little bit of power that we do have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's this idea that we are not, you know, we are not in control of everything that's happening in the universe. Yes, we can exert a certain amount of influence based on our consciousness and what we hold in our thoughts and in our beliefs and all of that. And that's, like I say, a big part of what Unity is about, but there's so much that we don't have control over. And so it's sort of discerning, you know, letting go of our control is what ultimately gives us the only power that we really do have, if that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense to me, because I have an illusion of power that's actually the opposite and is preventing me. You know, and I learned early on, like we were saying earlier in Unity Prosperity Principles, that, you know, if I'm undertaking a goal setting practice, manifesting or whatever you want to call it, you know, I can do that. I can have what I can think, what do I want to do or be or have?
Mm-hmm.
I can set those goals and I can accomplish those goals using this, you know, spiritual means.
Right.
But the critical step, a critical step in all of that, is once I'm very clear on what it is that I want, that's really important. And I'm doing my, you know, forgiveness practice, letting go of resentments and whatever. I comes to a point where I need to ask within or ask of the spirit, what do I need to change about myself mm-hmm. in order to accomplish this goal? That to me is where it all happens.
Yeah.
And changing something about myself is no doubt a subtractive process. It always is. It's always a process of letting something go. Right? What do I need to let go of in order to achieve this goal? Might even, actually, now that I say it out loud, I like that way of saying it much better. What yeah. do I need to let go of in order to achieve this goal?
Yeah.
And then I need to follow that guidance with integrity. I need to let go of whatever it is. I had a goal of being debt-free some years ago, and I followed the directions, and I took it into meditation, and I turned within, and I asked, what do I need to do in order to be debt-free? And immediately, like one microsecond later, it was placed into my mind, I need to quit smoking.
Mm.
I was smoking at the time, and I'm like, what does that have anything to do? I don't want to quit smoking. What I started arguing, what does yeah. that have to do with this anyway? This is stupid. Why did it say that? And I did not quit smoking. Now,
no.
Fast forward years later, I find myself out of debt. And guess what I had done? along the way, I had quit smoking. I was like, shut up. No way.
How did the universe know that?
Yeah. So, you know, letting go, subtractive, even when we're like you're pointing out, even when we're allegedly looking to acquire things, because that's what it looks like superficially and from the outside.
Right.
Oh, you're just trying to acquire a vacation or a car or whatever. Actually, what I'm doing is internal healing. I'm healing the things that are telling me I don't deserve to have that.
Yeah.
Right. And the way I'm getting there is not by adding a car, but by letting go of anything that's preventing that from occurring in my life.
Yeah, I like that. So, you know, and we say a lot in Unity, we're letting go or releasing all that which no longer serves us, or all that which stands between us and fully stepping into our divinity, all that stands between us and God, between us and our higher selves. We're clearing out. It's a clearing out. And yet it occurs to me that ultimately we even need to let go of the need to change anything, but that's getting very Buddhist. That's because that's where I've been lately. The ultimate letting go is letting go of even the need for anything to change, but that's, yeah, that's pretty high level concept.
Yeah. I hear it though. I'm letting that sink in.
Yeah. There's a,
we'll get there later.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard the saying, you know, what if nothing is wrong? And that's sort of along lines.
Oh man, I could get started on that, but hang on to that thought. That's a good one, because it's time for a short break. And when we come back, we will continue the conversation. So please stay with us.
Experience the difference. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world. Welcome back to Spirit of Recovery.
Yes, welcome back. We are glad that you're with us today. If you're just joining us, my name is Reverend Dan Beckett, here with co-host Reverend Michelle Vargas. We will resume our discussion in just a moment, but first, we want to remind you that you can send us your questions and feedback anytime during the week from our Facebook page, Spirit of Recovery. Message us from there and let us know what's on your mind.
Prior to the break, we were discussing fear and what that was like, living in a lot of fear. And then we moved into talking about the 12 powers, specifically the power of release. So now we're going to talk about how we use that power of release to move out of that fear and into faith.
Well, what comes to mind first is I might have to spend some time talking about how I was not particularly skilled at letting things go for whatever reason. I had lots of stuff. I had a garage, it was full of stuff. If I had a closet, it was full. A garden shed was full of stuff. So there's just a part of my wiring that says, you know, that kind of fear of not enough is what it is, and letting go. Like, well, I better keep this, because what if I need it someday? You know, and if I give it away, or if I throw it away, or let it go, or move it on, or find it a new home, or whatever. Then what if I need it? Then I'm going to feel really bad that I don't have it. And that still happens sometimes. I'll find like some little plastic thing. I'm like, what is this? And I'll be all bold. I don't need this. And I'll throw it away. And a week later, I'm like, oh my God, I just realized what that thing was.
I know that happens.
But most of the time that does not happen. Every once in a while it does happen. And of course I notice it because it aggravates that fear within me. Other things that I was not skilled at letting go, bad habits and behaviors, smoking, addictions, you know, all kinds of stuff, resentments, labels are for other people, right? Relationships, letting go of my story about things, you know, my narrative about who I am and why I'm this way and why everyone else needs to change and get with the program. They didn't get the memo from King Dan about how they're supposed to act. I don't know what their problem is.
All right.
Old ideas, or in Unity lingo, error thought.
Mm-hmm.
Right. These are all things that I carried, and I'm sure carry today to some extent, that I did not have either the skills or the internal supports. I think it's both to let go of. So when I asked, how did I use the power of release to move from fear to faith? I began doing things to work on that, to develop the internal supports, go to therapy, talk to program friends, be an active part of a recovery community, work the steps, have a sponsor, talk to my sponsor, talk to my recovery buddies, tell the truth about what's going on with me is the core of it. And those are the kind of things that I did to help me begin to develop the capability of letting things go.
Yeah, I love that you said that. You know, these things that we have learned to hold on to, there's a reason why we have learned to hold on to them, right? Now, I feel totally indicted by half the things you said, especially the, you know, the stuff, the material stuff. I really blame my immigrant great-grandparents, you know. It's their fault. They literally needed to hold on to everything because they never knew when they were going to have nothing and really might need it. And so I basically inherited that, which you can see by looking around behind me, the difference between my background and your background. There's a lot of stuff in this very room I need to let go of. But the point is well taken that we have learned to hang on to things for a reason. So when it comes to beginning to let go of things, there needs to be some support in place, you know, and it could be, you know, we've all seen the hoarder shows. It could be the physical material things in your house, or it could be, you know, big things like relationships, resentments, error, thought, all of those things. Any of them, letting them go is a threat to the status quo, right? It's a threat to the system of survival that we have created for ourselves. So there need to be supports in place in order for us to begin to let those things go. So I appreciate that, you know, and that's what we get when we begin to work the 12-step program and also, you know, attending Unity and learning Unity spiritual principles. That begins to create those supports for us. The first support that we get is having a higher power. You know, I began to be able to let go of things only because I suddenly believed that there was a higher power that loved me and that was holding me in some way, that I would be okay if I let those things go. You know, we aren't going to just let go into the void and just go tumbling through the darkness. There's got to be something that's going to catch us when we begin to let go of these things that have been emotional supports for us, you know? So for me, that was really a huge thing was, you know, finding a higher power, coming to believe in a higher power that I believed was going to catch me when I began to let go of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. So I'm sitting here remembering that letting go is a foundational skill for changing our lives. It's a core ability that we can develop. That's why we have one of the 12 powers for it, this power of release. It's something that we need to become more skillful in the ways that we use it. And even just looking around at nature, I mean, nature is full of cycles, right? And these cycles always are about letting go. It's especially easy to see maybe this time of year. If you live in a place with, you know, where the trees start to lose their leaves and they change colors and they let go. And weren't you just saying something earlier about the leaves letting go?
Yes.
And how beautiful it is. And
it's a metaphor. You know,
doesn't it look like something bad is happening?
Yes.
Like, oh, no, wait, we like the green. Remember what's going on? Everything's dying. Well, yes and no. I mean, it's everything's not dying, but there is this appearance of withdrawal and death, when really it's just part of the natural cycle, so that in the spring, literally, the plants can spring forth again into a whole new cycle. So the letting go part is necessary for the cycle of life. And we could probably sit here and come up with a zillion examples. That's just one. And I really love it when I see a spiritual principle reflected clearly in the natural world. That just roots it for me. Like, yes, there is absolutely something very central about this. It exists outside of the human mind. Even it's going on, has nothing to do with people. If all people magically disappeared from the earth in a moment, this would still be happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is part of God.
And it'd be a lot happier too.
Yeah, really.
I love that too. I often look to nature to confirm my belief in things, because I believe that nature has a lot of wisdom. And, you know, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think that a big difference between trees or leaves and me is that I'm worried about letting go, and I don't think the leaves are. Now, I don't have leaf consciousness. I'm not exactly sure what it is to be a leaf, but I'm pretty sure, or my working assumption is that leaves and trees don't have an ego consciousness. So they aren't worried about things. They're kind of just, they exist in a constant state of oneness, right? They just know that it's all okay. They know that they're letting go. They know what they're letting go into. They know that they understand that it's a cycle. They know that something has to die in order, or some part of them has to die in order for something new to be born. Maybe they just understand that intuitively. So what that tells me is that the more that I can try to step into that consciousness, the more easily I can let go. Now, I'm probably, you know, I'm a big fan of trees. I think redwood trees are probably some of the wisest beings on the planet. I'm probably never going to even get anywhere near that level of wisdom. But if I can try to step as much as possible into that consciousness of oneness and that cycle of life, then it can become a little bit easier for me to let go. And I can watch how nature does it with such grace and see that if nature can do it, you know, maybe I can do it too. But it does help to understand that it's a cycle and it's a never ending cycle, you know, and that, you know, we know that when the leaves fall off the trees, we know that the spring is coming again and that they're going to, you know, regenerate. And so we have to kind of apply that to ourselves too, that I'm letting go of something that presumably no longer serves me, something that is worn out and dying, so that something new can be born in me. So there's never a vacuum, right? It's not like I'm just letting go and there's going to be nothing. You know, yeah, whenever right. we let go, we create space for something new to be born in us.
Yeah, I like that way of looking at it. And that's kind of where my mind was going, is that letting go is how we change our focus. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if I'm holding on to something, I am focused on that thing and I'm convinced that I need it and it's not safe to be without it. Therefore, I'm clinging to it.
Yeah.
So letting go is how I change my focus. And metaphysically, letting go creates the room or the space for new things, which is exactly what I was hearing you sharing just there. So we have in Unity our practice of denial and affirmation, which can be a helpful tool for sort of training my mind and how this stuff works. And the first step is always what we call the denial. It's a letting go of. It's not denying that something is happening, denial. Right. It's denying that these events have power over me.
Right.
So I'm denying the power that I might be giving away to circumstances, say. And then once I have said my denial statement, like, you know, the weather outside has no power over me if I'm getting upset about the weather, then I follow that up with an affirmation. So I'm basically replacing that. It's like, well, if I'm taking this away because it's unhelpful and untrue, let me add something in that is helpful and is spiritually true, you know, whatever that might be. All weather is beautiful, which I remind myself
all weather matters.
Yeah, all weather matters. And so that is first the letting go, clearing out of some space, and then bringing something in to replace that space. And to me, a denial and affirmation is a wonderful tool. It's not the change itself, but it is a tool that shows me where I am on the path. Like if I state a denial and I can feel inside me that I don't really believe it, it's like I'm giving myself something to compare to, like, oh, I'm actually having trouble around this letting go, because when I make that statement, I feel all tight in my stomach. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's something going on there. So the denial, it's not like it magically makes it true, just as I said it. It's like a light that shows me what's going on and where my work is. Yeah. Or if I make an affirmation, you know, I'm a radiant center of God's health, but I don't feel very healthy. Oh, now I have a contrast. What's going on between the difference between the affirmation statement and how I'm experiencing my life right now? That's where my work is.
Yeah.
I love that about them.
Yeah. Yeah. So if the denial and affirmation is the process that we use in Unity, you know, the 12 steps have their own process of letting go. And it begins with the third step, right? Yeah. The third step is sort of the big letting go. Which, you know, usually comes early in our recovery. And so it's letting go into this new way of living that we're saying that we're willing to try this out. We're willing to travel this path and see where it goes. Then we get to use it over and over and over again on just about everything else under the sun, you know? And I loved that when I learned the third step, because I was, you know, prior I was so, you know, clinging and controlling everything and worrying about things and thinking I had to make things come out a certain way. And oh my God, what if they don't? And how can I make this happen? How can I get what I need? You know, that very contracted, fearful state. When I took the third step, it was like, oh, it was this huge relief. I don't have to do this anymore. I can turn this over to something else. Now, my understanding of how that works has changed a little bit. What I'm exactly turning it over, I think before I had a little bit more immature of an idea that I could just turn this over and God was going to take care of everything. It was all going to be good. Now I understand it's a little more nuanced than that. But to me now, the third step is turning it over to a higher consciousness, turning it over to my higher self, taking it out of the ego material individual self realm and taking it into a higher spiritual realm and letting that higher consciousness work out the problem, because that's where the solution is, right? The solution is always in the spiritual realm. The solution is never in the material realm. So it worked so well for me and produced so much relief for me when I did that first third step that I just started using it on everything, you know, and what I found was that immediately my life started working better.
Yeah.
And of course that has, you know, continued. I use it as much as possible, but it's changed a little bit. Now it's more of, it's a relinquishing of my need to have things turn out a certain way, and even realizing that I probably don't even know what the best way it is for things to turn out, you know, because I'm human living a material existence. I don't have the scope of vision or of, you know, understanding of things to be able to always know what's best for me. So letting go of that and allowing myself to be guided by God, by the higher power, by the universe, by my own higher self, my own higher mind, allowing myself to be guided and allowing life to unfold. We talk about this a lot on this show, allowing life to unfold effortlessly rather than me having to force things to go a certain way. And I'll tell you, the proof is in the pudding. Whenever I live that way, things turn out so infinitely much better.
Yeah, I echo that very strongly, because I have done that for a while and then kind of taken it back.
Mm, yes. You know,
and then things don't go as well when I'm unwilling to tithe, when I'm unwilling to hold things loosely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think ideas and goals are all fine as long as I'm not gripping them tightly.
Right.
I want to hold a goal like I would hold a small bird in my hand, open. You know, the bird is in my hand, and if the bird leaves, the bird leaves. I'm not going to squish it to keep it from going away. I will succeed in keeping it from going away, but I will also kill it.
Yes.
And what that's the total opposite of what I want. So I try to hold things loosely.
Right.
This or something better is a great phrase that we use that gets right at that for me.
Yep.
If I have a vision of something I would like to be or do or have in my life, I can always end my thought about that with this or something better, because my mind is limited And there is more available to me than I can possibly know. So I don't want to close myself off to that.
Yeah.
So if I, and I try to remember that if I feel like I'm losing something, maybe I'm losing something in order to gain something even better.
Yeah. You know, when we're acting out of our own idea of what's best for us, we are, my experience is that I'm always going to sell myself short. I'm never, ever going to aim high enough.
Yeah.
Whatever best thing I can imagine for myself, the divine mind, God, higher power, has something even bigger and better in mind. So I'm always going to sell myself short. So I like that, you know, this or something better, or better yet. Yeah, there's nothing, I mean, it's, there's nothing wrong with having an idea of what we think we want, or, you know, goals or things like that, that can help those things come to fruition. But like you said, always holding them lightly and realizing that things may turn out in a completely different way than the way I imagined them. And it's going to be so much better than what I imagined.
Yeah.
Now, I may, so it's kind of like when we're asking for something, we want to focus on the essence of the thing and not the thing itself. You know what I mean? Like, what I want is a happy, loving relationship. Now, I'm not going to get specific about who that's going to be with or exactly what it's going to look like. You know what I'm saying? So, because I'm going to be limiting myself. Or I want a job where I feel fulfilled and I do meaningful work. But, you know, getting the call to ministry was proof enough to me that I had no idea what that was supposed to look like, because that is not what I imagined. And yet that's what it turned out to be for me. So I'm never going to aim high enough. I'm just not, because I'm human. And so, like you said, holding those things loosely and giving the universe the opportunity to bring us what it is we're asking for in a different package than right. what we thought.
Yeah, right. Limiting thoughts we're yeah. talking about. Yeah. That's particularly powerful and can be, you know, difficult to wield, because finding that balance point between holding a goal, you know, I want a hot tub, and sort of clinging to it, like it has to be this size, or it has to be this kind, or it has to look like this. Well, why don't I just feel the feeling of, you know, if I had a hot tub, it would be great, because then I could go sit in it and just commune with nature. So focus on that and let the universe deliver that experience.
What it's going to look
maybe
like.
Maybe it's a hot tub, and maybe it's you're moving to Hawaii.
Is that
better than a hot tub? Well, it is if I want to move to Hawaii, yes.
Yeah.
It certainly could be. You know, I'm reminded as you share about this way of seeing God as a field of infinite possibility, kind of like an ocean mm-hmm. of possibility. And I've heard it said, if God is this ocean of possibility, the only question is, am I bringing a thimble or a bucket?
Exactly.
And I go to the ocean. And when I limit myself, I'm bringing a thimble.
Yep.
This is all I can conceive of is this one little piece. If I could just stay open and be broader, then I'm bringing a bucket and not just a thimble to it.
It doesn't that.
And I really appreciate that sense of expansiveness.
Yeah.
That's what I like about that ocean image. That's what I like about conceiving of God as a field of infinite possibility. Do you remember the Bible verse where Jesus said, God is a field of infinite possibility? Me either. What Jesus said was, with God, all things are possible.
Well, and showed us with the loaves and fishes and so many other things that,
yeah,
you know, we're always right. aiming too low. Didn't Edwin Gaines say something about that? I think I heard her say something about it's the size of the cup that we're holding out or something like that.
I'm sure that she did. She has a million ways. Of
I think I heard her say that over 20 years ago, and I still remember it.
Yeah, she's a friend and a favorite teacher of mine. Or as my friend Bill Gates warned me, don't drop names. Okay, it's not cool. Just kidding. I don't know. I don't know Bill Gates, but I do know Edwin Gaines. Well, we have said a whole lot about this topic. As my dear, close, and personal friend Edwin said, don't drop names, Dan. Let's step way back if we can and see if we can find a concise way to sum all this up. And the way that we do this is I will pose a hypothetical question, something that someone could ask to Reverend Michelle. So Reverend Michelle, if someone came to you and said, you know, give me the quick answer or the short version. I get that I need to let things go, but it's not that easy. What are some simple things I can do that will help me let go of whatever's troubling me? Give me some tools, tips, or skills.
Well, in early recovery, the third step prayer was very helpful to me. It's a really great prayer. The language is a little antiquated, but it's still a very powerful prayer. I would try looking at that third step prayer and using that. Some folks use a God box, you know, to sort of write their worries on and put it into a physical box where you can sort of imagine yourself, you know, putting it over here, and the idea that you can take it back if you need to, but you're going to set it over here and let the universe take care of that. Whatever works for you, you know, there's so many different ways of releasing. We have to find what works for us. We can trust and affirm that all is unfolding in divine order. That's another coming to believe. You know, we don't just get that immediately. We learn to have trust in that over time. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to turn out just the way I want. It means it's going to turn out even better than what I imagined, ultimately. We can even just visualize, you know, there has been times that I have literally visualized myself taking something and placing it in God's hands. That's what I needed to do.
I find that helpful too. I picture myself in the back of a boat that's just tooling through the water, and I'm just dumping, you know, fish
pulling out
whatever the garbage is into it, you know, as an image. My answer begins with prayer and meditation, you know, some kind of contemplative practice. Not that it's an instant solution, but right. it's a foundation for all of this. So just start something. To, like we've been talking about, acknowledge other possibilities, even if I can't see them yet. Just acknowledge that they exist, or at least be open to the idea that they could exist. And practice turning it over. You said the God can or whatever. And what I've done that's been helpful is when I'm trying to let go of something, like when I quit smoking, and the idea comes back to me, I can say, like I'm talking to that thing, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I'm letting God handle that now.
Yeah.
Thank you and goodbye. Or whatever approach that you have that works for you.
Really good tips. Well, our affirmation today can help you to remember these things. And our affirmation is this: I release anything and everything that no longer serves my unfolding good.
I love that because of the open-ended. This is an this statement has an open up end to it, like upside. Yeah. I release anything and everything that no longer serves my unfolding good, whatever that may
be. Because my good is unfolding. That's the unstated assumption.
Well, it has happened again. If you've made it this far in the show, you've given yourself the gift of another hour listening to Spirit of Recovery, and we are grateful. We hope that you found something in all of our wittering today that will be genuinely helpful to you in your own recovery. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. Maybe something that we say will show you something within yourself that will be helpful to you. Thank you, Reverend Michelle, as always, for our fun discussion. And thanks to all who are listening to the podcast via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. We bless you wherever you are on your journey.
And listeners, as always, you can connect with us throughout the week on our Facebook page, where you are invited to leave us your thoughts and feedback, and that Spirit of Recovery on Facebook. And we invite you to join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central. And until then, don't drink like my co-host.
And don't drink like my co-host.
Instead, have yourself a wonder-filled week.
Thank you for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Hi, I'm Jane Asher, and I believe, and from what I've been shown, that when our loved ones die, they don't really leave. They just slip into the next room. On my podcast, I explore the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth, and what follows when we do die. I speak with authors, friends, transition specialists, and other experts about every facet of death, dying, grief, hospice care, cultural traditions, and also our beliefs about that final journey and what we may end up facing. Please join me on The Next Room on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.